was 490 BC, the Athenians had just defeated an army of invading Persians at a place called Marathon, which is northeast of Athens. They wanted to spread the news of the victory that just had come, so they appointed a young man by the name of Pheidippides. Pheidippides was a very fast and a faithful runner. If you watched anything of the Olympics, you've seen some of those speed of many folks, and he had that kind of speed. And he was going to carry the victory sign and tell the folks down in Athens that victory had come 20 miles away. And so he ran as fast as he could up mountains down to the valleys, across the hills, and finally reached Athens. And as he entered the city, he was screaming the words, "Victory has come! Victory has come!" About the time he said it for the third time, Pheidippides fell to the ground, and he collapsed, and he died. Now he died of complete exhaustion. He had ran so hard with what he thought was the greatest news of all time that he ran so hard to tell the people of Athens that it cost him his life. Ever since that day, there has been a race that is run every year known as the Marathon. 26 miles and 385 yards long. And one of the most familiar to us is the Boston Marathon. That's ran every year. This past year, you realize that they had 26,895 who ran in the Boston Marathon. The record of running the Boston Marathon is 2 hours and 24 minutes and 18 seconds. Now you think about 26 miles in 2 hours' time. But that's not what I want you to know. This is not a lesson on the marathon. But I want you to know something. The marathon athletes do not depend on speed as much as they do endurance. It's the endurance. The people who really start off real fast usually don't cross the finish line. It's those who set a pace and keep the pace under the last little miles of the race, and then they push themselves to cross that finish line. Now, most of us have never thought about running in the Boston Marathon. I've never had any desire to run. You may want to run, but I'll tell you one thing. I have a struggle, used to have a struggle, of even making it to the end of the driveway to get my mail out of the mailbox. When I pastored at Friendship, they used to kid me. Somebody passed by, and it happened to be somebody who wanted to tell everything, and they seen me get in my car at the car and drive down the end of the driveway, pick my mail up, and drive back. I like to never run that, live that down, because they was aggravating me about doing that. And so I'm not going to run in a marathon. But let me remind you of something. The Christian life is a race.
Amen.
It's a race. It's not a problem. It's a race. God says that we have a race to run.
Amen.
I want you to understand something. Listen, they thought, but Pheidippides thought he had the greatest news of all time. He didn't have the greatest news of all time. For the greatest news of all time is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the greatest news. And it saddens me that most of us are crawling and not running the race that God has for us. We sing in our churches, we're marching on, and yet we crawl like a bunch of pitiful turtles as if we have no hope and no head. You do not make much success. You do not go very far by crawling, but you go a long way when you run. The Christian life is not even a walk. When you're walking, you're too busy sightseeing along the way. If you're walking, you see things that the devil throws in your pathway that looks a lot prettier. And so when you're walking in the Christian life, guess what? He's going to send things to distract you. When you're running in the Christian life, you can't spend as much time looking to your left and looking to your right. You're just looking to cross the finish line.
Amen.
You're just looking at the finish line. We need to slow. We've slowed down so much, we need to pick up our pace. And the Christian life, listen, is not a start and stop line. The day that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, He said go. And ever since that day, I need to be going as fast as I can. For if you haven't paid any attention lately, time is running out. We need to run a race. So it's our race that He's given us to run. And our finish line is not going to reach the age of 55 or 60. And we say we've done our part and sit down. That's not the finish line. The finish line comes when we get home. When we cross that golden shore. When we get across those streets of gold. That's when we cross the finish line. And it's not he who finishes the fastest. But it's he who finishes the most faithful that makes a difference. Well, the author of Hebrews shares some remarks about this race. Now, we're not real sure about who the author is of Hebrews. We can debate. I have my opinion. You have your opinion. Some could care less, but we're not going to debate that issue. But we know whoever it was inspired by God to pen the book of Hebrews. For listen very carefully, the whole book is the inspired and inerrant word of God.
Amen.
And so Hebrews fits right in. And keep in mind that Hebrews chapter 12, that he's talking to Christian people. He's not dealing with lost people. He's talking about church folks like me and you sitting here on this Sunday in August in this sanctuary. He's not talking about the lost one in the race. He's talking about us. Let's look at our race for just a moment. Chapter 12, verse 1, is starting with the word, wherefore. He's reaching back all the way to chapter 11, and he's pulling back, wherefore, and he's saying, because of all that's transpired back in chapter 11. Now, what is chapter 11? Everybody knows what chapter 11 is. It's the book, it's the chapter of the heroes of faith. The Hall of Fame of faith. You find Abel and Enoch and Noah and Sarah and Abraham and Moses and Gideon and Barak and David. You find all them in chapter number 11. And these were the individuals who had been given a race, and they ran the race to the best of their endurance, and they had finished their race because they were with the Lord. They kept the faith, and they finished their race. And since they made it, they crossed the finish line, guess what? They have become cheerleaders for us. Cheerleaders. He said, wherefore? Because of them. Seeing we are so compassed about with so gray a cloud of witnesses. They go on. They pass the torch on to us. And the author here is picturing of a large stadium. Oh, here's this large stadium. And here's all these folks setting up in the stage. All these folks, the hero of faith, are spectators. They're not cold. They're not critical. They're not callous spectators. No, but they fill that stadium as spectators. And they have experienced what we have faced. And their testimonies say they have experienced what we're facing. And when the days got harder, they kept running by faith. When everybody says you're quit, thank God, they kept running by faith.
Amen.
Everybody said Noah was a crazy man for building a big old boat to put people on. Guess what? He kept building. They kept running, and they finally crossed the finish line, and the stadium is filled. And so since I have forefathers there, since I have family there, since I have friends there, and most of the guys, I looked at my ordination certificate of the ministry, most of the guys like Colbert Hunter and
wilderness.
We don't find the words thou shalt. No. They don't say anything about thou shalt. But the words let us, is grace. You and I are running the race under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us. The Lord's not going to make you run if you don't want to run. The Lord's not going to make us do anything that we don't want to do. But I'll tell you one thing, if we don't run the race God's given us to run, we'll miss the blessings that God has for us. If we as a church don't do what God's asked us to do, we'll miss the blessings God has for us. And guess whose fault it will be? It won't be our neighboring church's fault. It'll be our fault.
Amen.
God's not going to force us. But He wants us to run our race. There is a task that He has for our church to do. There is a task that He has for our neighboring churches to do. And He just wants us to be faithful to the task that He's given us.
Amen.
Run, church, run. We walk long enough. We grow long enough. We say we'll wait till later. Guess what? Later has come. We've got a race to run.
Amen.
We've got a race to run. And he begins to tell me about that race. What are some remarks about this race? Let me show you very quickly. He begins talking about our preparation for the race in verse 1. You'll not be able to run the race if you're not prepared. People get up and say, well, I think today's a pretty day. I think I'm going to run for the Lord. You know, I haven't ran for Him lately. I'm just going to run for the Lord today. I'm going to run. No, you just can't decide when you want to run and run only when you feel like it. If you're going to run the race for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a race 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Amen.
It's not a turn on and turn off thing. And you have to prepare yourself or you'll drop along the way. A marathon runner trains every single day. They run a certain length each day. Each day they want to make it to a certain point. And then the next week they'll try another point. And they'll keep running and keep running and keep working and keep working. And the spiritual race is still the same. We run in the days of showers. We run in the days of sun. We run in the days that it's hot. We run in the days it's humid. We run in the days when we have no hope. We run in the days when we feel like there's no help. We just determine, bless God, I'm going to run my race for Jesus until I get home. That's what you got to decide. We're going to do it. And we run for our Lord every day. We got a crowd of folks who want to run only on Sunday. The other 6 days they want to run for somebody else. No, no, no. The race for the Lord Jesus Christ is an everyday race.
Amen.
Everyday race. You got to run every day. How do we prepare? He says, first part of that verse, he said, let us lay aside. First part of verse 1. Let us lay aside. We prepare by purification. You know, we've got to purify ourselves in order to run. We don't have many dedicated, dynamic runners for Christ any longer. You know why? We want to run for Jesus and carry the world on our back. Can't do it. We want to run. We want to live for the Lord. But we want to keep our old habits and our old lifestyles, and we're so loaded down that we're not getting very far for our Lord. We're not getting very far. We've got to get rid of the weights and the sins that surround us and keep us from running like we should.
Come on.
Some runners run with very big, large shoes. They put weighted shoes on their feet so they'll learn how to, when they take them off, they'll feel a little bit lighter. I'll tell you what we've got to do. We've got to get rid of some of the weight that pulls us down and keeps us running for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'll be the first one to say, If you and I had to go out here and run a race, a leg race, you'd beat me. Well, some of you. Well, most of you. Most of you. You know why? Because I am carrying about 3 pounds extra weight. All right? And I can tell you, I can't get my breath. I can tell you. If I walk fast, I can tell you. At a funeral yesterday, old Billy had to go downstairs. I asked the funeral, the mortician, I said, where's the restrooms at? And they said, it's downstairs. Go down this flight of stairs. You go down the other flight of stairs. And I went down the flight of stairs, went down the other flight of stairs, come back up one flight of stairs, come back up the second flight of stairs, and when I got back to the sanctuary, I saw stars and everything else. You know why? I got too much weight. I got too much weight. We sit around in our churches and we've allowed too much weight to pile on top of us if we're not running the race that God's given us to run. And we've got people sitting all around this church today who's dying and lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're so weighted down that we're trying to do the good thing, but we never get to the great thing. The great thing that the church ought to be doing is reaching people for Jesus Christ. We've got to do that. And so he says we've got to purify ourselves. Throw the weights off. Throw the weight. And it says every weight. It didn't say you can keep what you want. He said you've got to get rid of every weight that pulls you down. Now let me give you some weights. There's one old way of pride that robs us in our churches. We begin to think we're somebody. We're a little bit better than we think we are. I want you to understand something. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter when Jesus came in your heart, as long as He came in your heart. But it doesn't matter. Listen very carefully. The person that got saved in this sanctuary last Sunday night, gave her heart to Christ, is just as saved as you are.
Hey.
We sit in our church or something, we'd want to pride ourselves. You know, well, I've been a Christian for 30 years. You know, I know a little bit. I'll tell you one thing. Just because you've been a Christian for 30 years don't mean you know anything.
That's right.
No. The weight of pride. Bragging ourselves. We're so spiritually sound. We're so good. Everybody else got a problem. It's not me. It's not me. Everybody else has a problem. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me. When you get the weight of pride wrapped around your neck, and your head swells so big that you can't turn your head, then I've got news for you. Jesus needs to deflate you.
That's right. Amen.
He needs to deflate you. The weight of pride. Puff up all you want to. But I'll tell you one thing. The only thing we ought to puff up about is how good Jesus has been to us.
Amen.
Weight of pride.
Hallelujah.
Weight of pride. There's a second weight that you and I have to throw off. We've got to purify ourselves. He said, let us throw all these weights off. There's the weight of position. If I'm not going to be first, I don't want to run at all. How childish. How childish. Listen. Who cares who gets to heaven first as long as we all get back? And who cares who gets the credit for getting a job done as long as somebody does the job for Jesus? People say, well, I'm in a better position. You know, I've got to be in first place, first place, first place. And we debate about who has the power, who's in charge, and who's in control, who makes this decision, and who makes that decision. I'll tell you, the ultimate controller of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord Himself.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord Himself. The way to power. The way to position. Then there's the way to possessions. We think we've got to have big buildings and all this kind of stuff for us to be successful. You know what the problem is with all of us, and I'm going to talk about myself, and I think you agree with me. I think the problem that most of us Christians have is that God has blessed us with too much. You understand what I'm saying? He's given us too much. We've got too much. We've got more than we ever need. Listen to me very carefully. Listen. If we pride ourselves in this sanctuary and the possessions that the Lord has given us, do you know something? The Lord can take those possessions away.
Right.
Nothing that we have should ever take first place but the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Possessions. We're so hung up on possessions. You know what? How I come into this world? With nothing. You know how I'm going to leave this world? With nothing.
Right.
You know how I'm going to get to heaven? With nothing. But guess what? When I get to heaven, I'll have everything.
Amen.
The way to pleasure. There's another way. He says, lay all these things up. There's a way to pleasure. It bothers me that pleasure controls the church. It bothers me that some folks would rather do something in the world on Sunday night, Wednesday night, than they had to come to church.
Amen.
When the doors of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ are open, and we who profess to be His children, we are to try to be in the house of God when the house of God is open. Pleasure. Everybody wants to be entertained. Church is not entertainment. Church is about coming to meet with a holy, righteous God and feeling His presence and Him speaking in our hearts and challenging us to be what we need to be for Him.
Amen.
Go off the weight. Now purify yourself. Get rid of the weight of pride. Position. Possession. Pledge. Now here's a big one. We got to get rid of the weight of procrastination. We're going to sit around and say, well, we're going to get to it one of these days. The devil has stopped a many of church because they sat around and said, we'll do it later. Oh, I'm not for just rushing into things, but I will tell you this. Procrastination will let folks die without Christ.
Amen.
There's the way of the past. If you're still living in the past, it'll rob you from running the race that God has for you.
Amen.
If I'm still living in the past, past problems, and past troubles, and past triumphs, the devil will keep me thinking about my past so much that he won't let me, he won't let me see what the Lord has for me right now in the present. What I say is this. If I've offended you and you offended me and we've offended each other, why not under God's gracious grace forgive one another and move forward for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
That's what it's about. Living in the past. I remember what they did in the past. I remember what they did this in the past. I remember this in the past. Aren't you glad that the Bible says that our past has been washed whiter than snow?
Amen.
God. Run the race, and we prepare by purification. He also says that we prepare by perseverance. Let us run. Now let us lay aside. Now don't start running until you get rid of some of those weights. And then he said, let us run them with patience the race that is set before us. That means that you've got to strive and strive and strive and strive and strive to be everything that you should be for the Lord every single day. Every day. Sometimes the course is going to get dusty. Sometimes the way is going to get dirty. But as a runner, if you're prepared, you're just going to keep persevering. You're going to keep running no matter what the devil nor his crowd has to say about it. And sometimes temptation will be on every side. But you keep running with perseverance. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep running your race.
Amen.
When our boys were growing up, if they joined a sports team, they played ball all their life. But if they joined a team, and after three or four games, they decided they did not want to be on that team. They came to us and said, Mom, Dad, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. I'm going to turn in my uniform. I'm going to quit. You know what we'd say? No, you're not. For if you join a team and you become a part of a team, you stay on the team. You stay on the team. You know what we've got? We've got too many people say, woo, I love Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. He's my rock. He's my Lord. And in the middle of the race, they give up and quit. If He's so good that you started out with your race, I've got news for you. He'll help you through the dirty, dusty days.
Amen. Amen.
It'll
help you. Just keep persevering. Keep persevering. Keep persevering. And besides, we can't put you on the bench because we've got too many already on the bench. And we don't have any more room for any more runners on the bench. We've got too many people who say, I've done my part, I'm finished, I'm going to stay on the bench until the Lord takes me home. So guess what? If you want to go on the bench, I'm sorry, there's no more room on the bench. I probably shouldn't tell this story on me, but I am. You know that we've had a discussion here lately. Well, some of you haven't been here on Wednesday night. We've discussed that there's a treadmill in my house. Dolores runs, very active about her running and about her weight and all this kind of stuff. So she brought it in the house. And matter of fact, she made a thing on Wednesday night that I was going to start running on the treadmill. Well, I look at it and it looks at me. But there's a little lamp, if you hadn't been, there's a little lamp that sits over the treadmill, and usually when we go in off or something, we'll turn that lamp on. So the other night, I had went out there and I was going to cut that lamp on for a reason. And my feet got tangled up at the bottom of the treadmill, and I fell flat on that treadmill. Skipped my knee. I hollered out at my house is a waste of time. For all you hear is laughter from the other room. I'm going to tell you something. That's my experience with that treadmill. That treadmill will kill me. I don't see that. I don't have the patience nor the perseverance to walk on that treadmill. I'm going to tell you something. The devil's trying to kill us. We better have perseverance to stand up and fight for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's some principles today in our churches that should, we should stand up and fight and be firm. If God says it's wrong, guess what? Things haven't changed.
Amen.
It's still wrong.
Amen.
It's still wrong. He said we got a preparation for the race. That's one last thing. Verse number 2. He gives us a pattern for the race. Verse 2 in Hebrews chapter 1. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Did you hear that? Most runners, when interviewed, will say, I have patterned my style after such and such. My coach has helped me to learn the technique of running, and they helped me by working me out. And I know all these things. I've been able to do that. But in the spiritual race, it's a little bit different. Please, whatever you do, don't pattern your race after man.
Amen.
Don't pattern your race after man. You may have some tremendous Sunday school teachers that stand before you and teach you God's Word. Don't pattern your race after a Sunday school
teacher. Amen.
Don't pattern your race after a pastor. Care how much you love him and how good he is. You don't run your race according to the pattern of man. You run your race according to the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Man will fail you. They'll let you down. They'll disappoint you. But I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ will never ever fail us nor disappoint us.
Amen.
And it's amazing when you run that race, everybody seems to know more about you than you do yourself. Everybody seems to already know what you ought to do and how you ought to do things and what you better do and what you better not do. But I want to stand here and tell you today, the only person who knows anything about us really is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For on the finish line stands the Lord.